to Grief Grace Goddess, a 7-day soul cleansing pilgrimage. My name is Sharon Ann Rose, and I am your priestess of grief. This journey you are embarking upon is a transformative rite of passage that will aid you in befriending your feelings of loss, sadness, and pain, while gathering treasures to you that await in the most vulnerable terrain of your life's story. I feel so blessed to be standing with you, deepening into our honesty with grief. Along this path, I've gathered wise women close to my heart and recorded their raw, intimate stories. These women are made of the salt of the earth and have descended to the bottom of the sea, discovering resources and soul riches that our world rarely invites us towards. I've taken these conversations and traveled to the wilds of the forest and stood before my mother tree, calling to those who've gone before, please hold and caress our hearts as we enter this journey. Let us together now rest and reflect, release and remember, to discover a deeper residence of love within us and within our heart of grief. As you walk along this path, I'd love to hear what you're discovering. Feel free to email me, and if at any point you could use personal support, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm honored to explore supporting you more deeply. May we now drink in this restorative medicine. Take your time and settle in. Breathe and pace yourself. Savor this wisdom with everything you've got. May you feel grief reaching out her caring hand to walk with you every step of the way. Our world is hungering for this kind of depth and presence. We are here to be soft and real with what is most important to our hearts. Let us now cross over together.
And today I'm so heartfully touched to be joining with a soul sister and longtime mentor who is calling in from France, the sacred land of southern France, in the holy divine feminine landscape. Anaya Sophia is here with me today to really honor and hearken this autumn equinox sharing of Grief Grace Goddess, so we can dive in to this seasonal journey of grief and letting go, and what autumn and the natural world and order is bringing up for us to do inside of our own lives and inside of our own initiation of self and soul. So Anaya is an independent mystic of an almost forgotten faith. She is a teacher of Kundalini Yoga, and I came across her work 5 years ago and feel really honored to have walked with her and in those beginning stages of some of the training she was doing with Carriers of the Flame and Sacred Body Awakening, and just these really rich, potent journeys of really allowing oneself to go into that yearning for God and Goddess and really rediscover the deep potency and intimacy with the sacred feminine in a way that few people, few places, few organizations really allow us to do as human beings, but especially as women. So Anaya is here today sharing the oral transmission that really stirs this remembrance of Sophia, of Isis, of Mary Magdalene. And this mystical tradition is a continuous lineage with the feminine principle that throughout the centuries has preserved its dignity, without a need for permission or recognition from any other source. But our own. And today, Anaya is joining me, and what she felt arise in connection to this grief process is sharing about the dark night of the soul and the importance of that, And how in our culture, you know, we do not make space to honor that as a profound initiation. And how, you know, we really go into this time of collapse, and we're meant to. We go into this time of hurting like nothing else, and we're meant to. And often, you know, we're surrendering to things that are confusing because they bring so much pain and suffering, but in them is a transformation into gold that she is here to share with us and really give confirmation that this process is a blessing. And I want to begin opening that door to hearing Anaya's gorgeous wisdom with this quote that she offered to me from Cahil Gibran, which is, "Out of suffering have emerged the strongest souls. Out of suffering have emerged the strongest souls. The most massive characters are seared with scars." So Anaya, the floor is yours, my dear, and I welcome you forward to intuitively share whatever is on your heart to do so today.
Hey, Sharon. Hello, everybody. It is an absolute privilege to be here amongst you, and especially to spend a little bit of time talking about the dark night, which is an initiation that is so dear to me. It is such a treasure house and such a gift to be able to say that and really, really mean it. And just like, you know, what Sharon was saying, it is actually a gift. It's a gift of mercy. It's a gift of grace to realize that one is either on the horizon for you or you find yourself in the middle of it. But by golly, it takes courage and humility to be able to reach the other side and glean from the experience all the fragments of yourself that may have been scattered in all directions. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love those words of, it's a gift of mercy. Gift of mercy. Because so often we are not, that word doesn't come in when, you know, things are falling apart and we're really letting go into it. We're so often taught to resist that, to hold it together, keep it together, that we're, you know, somehow, you know, really at fault if things, if we're by choice choosing to enter the dark night.
Absolutely.
So I'm wondering if you can give examples from your own life, you know, of that pivotal moment when you can feel like, okay, she's beckoning. Even deeper darkness than I thought was possible is beckoning me more now. Like how you handled that and what came up for you, and any specific examples pop into memory.
Well, what comes up for me is a little bit of awareness that I've had each time. I think I've been through two dark nights of the soul so far. And each time, I kind of knew it was coming. So there's a classic dark night that appears around about the 28th birthday. It's known as Saturn's return. And it's a time where we sort of leave our young and giddy and irresponsible lives behind and dig in deep and learn to find something about ourselves that is trustable, worthy, and able to take on a more grounded, mature stand in the world. Now, I knew that was coming around about the age of 25. People spoke to me about it. I noted it. But then I forgot about it. And then it came. And, it was a time of great karma, although I don't know whether I believe in karma. It was a time where I I kind of got caught doing something I shouldn't, and the price for that had to be paid. So I was taken down a little bit into the underworld, just enough for me to realize the underworld does exist, and you're not really allowed out until you have become humble and shaped by those tumultuous forces. And if you have allowed that shaping by mercy to come into a truer version of yourself, then you're released back up and into the surface of your life as a truer version of yourself. But if you resist, I can imagine that that initial dark night could last a lot, lot longer, if not the duration of the lifetime. And then I was given a very insightful piece of information, and this might be really wonderful for our listeners. According to the Kabbalah, between the ages of 42 and 49, you enter a seven-year Saturnian period of endlessly, for 7 years, absolutely with a fine-tooth comb, putting everything in its right place. For any, again, the word karma, any karma that you've accrued. I don't like that word. Let's just say, I don't know, any debris you've collected throughout the incarnation. Between the ages of 42 and 49 is where you will put everything into its right place. And I'm 40, coming up to 49, so I'm eking my way towards my 49th birthday, hoping and praying that I've, you know, completed this cycle. But you know, true to that Kabbalistic wisdom, it was absolutely in my 42nd year that the descent into the underworld came again, and this time it was unyielding. It was as if the Saturn's return when I was 28, that was kind of like an earthly error. I made an earthly error, and I had to put it right. Whereas this period in my 40s, it was like a spiritual error, a psychic error. And that takes time, lots and lots of time to put right. So I'm wondering to the listeners, I wonder, has that brought in some relief for those of us in our 40s?
Yeah, it's, and you know, this for me, because I just passed through my 47th, so I'll be coming into my 48th year, and this wisdom, it carries over into many different traditions, and one of the spiritual traditions I'm, you know, really surrounded by is through the Waldorf and Anthroposophical philosophies that came down from Rudolf Steiner because of the education my children have gone through. So I've been doing art therapy, you know, during the very apex of this, like, oh my God, I like have to write how I've even been creating, you know, like at that very depth of just how I just reach out to make sound, to speak, to take a step. I've got to write all of it right there, you know, to really come into that psychic and spiritual resonance right there every time I breathe. You know, and so I've been going through this art therapy, and the beautiful process my teachers brought me through was that I literally painted a sunset and really, like, felt each stage. Each week, I would allow that sun to descend. And then it would, you know, with each stage, and then it was just blackness, and to just stay in that blackness. And then it was to begin to paint the sunrise. And I love what you said of this takes time.
Yeah.
It takes so much time. And that's not a joke. That's not a, hey, honey, in a 4-week course, you're going to be done, you know. Or, and it's just not. And they think, yeah. I can't, like, jump up and down enough that you're confirming that. And then you're even asking those who are listening, because this is being recorded, so folks will be listening, you know, over many seasons. But you said, like, I wonder if that brings relief. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that brings relief. And I know for me, and that's why I even initiated, you know, this journey and want to have these conversations, because it's the relief of, oh my God, I'm doing okay. I can stay in this and just know, like you said, when you're done and you've righted, and I don't like even using those words, righted the wrongs, and that's not what I mean, nor I know you don't either, but, you know, it's that balancing of just coming back into so much resonance and harmony, then we're brought up again, you know, we're brought up from the underworld again. So,
yes.
I'm relieved. Thank you. Yeah, and so what does it feel like? You know, you said, like, I'm just coming to the end of that time, which is real. It's so real. What does that begin to feel like?
Well, for me, the dark night or any type, any amount of time in the underworld is absolutely a maturation process, a softening process, a graceful process. And so you kind of bob back to the surface of your life and, you know, you're a much nicer person. There's a power there. There's a discernment and an authority. But there's also a kindness. I think kindness is the most beautiful word in the English language, actually. You come up to the surface and you're kind, but you're powerful. You're awake and aware and reluctant to make any more errors, especially when you're aware that you're in the process of possibly beginning one.
And this is such sacred wisdom, and I'm going to say it's sacred feminine wisdom, because in the masculine model, the desire to, like, move quick, move fast, there's a different definition of courage, you know, I think, from the masculine model, and a very different definition of what courage is in the feminine model. Can you still hear me, hon?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So I I've just got a little something happening on the computer screen. So let me just do one. Okay, so we may still be recording or not. But I'm glad you can hear me, because that's what matters right now.
Yes,
so
yes.
I'd love to talk about that. And, you know, even as I just said that, what comes up for you, because I think that, you know, you talked about some very beautiful softening energies, like kindness and reluctance, as if reluctance could be, you know, an attribute. Because in the masculine, former masculine model, that was like, no, you want to just step forward. You want to do this courageously and, you know, move with the forces. But you're saying, you know, to be reluctant because you don't want to make an error.
Absolutely.
And so I'd love for you to share a little about that.
Well, I would say when I was in the, you know, the deeper dark night, after, you know, when you first begin the journey, there's a lot of D words, like dread and denial and despair. You know, you're kicking against the process. You don't want to go there, and yet more and more things keep showing up to drag you down. And St. Teresa of Avila calls this the black crocodiles, that these crocodiles grab you at the ankles and twist and turn you all the way down to the deepest part of the river. And you don't want to. You want to be at the surface, breathing freely. But, I mean, if the dark night really has come for you, you will be taken down. And after that initial resistance and denial and, you know, wishful thinking that it's all going to go away, the feminine part of us, and if we're in the female body, usually that means we have, you know, a surplus amount of feminine energy. That feminine energy will eventually take over, and with it, she brings the surrender. The surrender to the process and the allowance to just let it have its way with us. And of course, if that surrender doesn't come, you know, we might find things like a diagnosis of a terminal disease, an accident, the loss of a loved one tragically taken from us. And that, you know, that usually, those big heavy loads, that usually brings in a huge amount of surrender and allowance. And that is when we actually stop fighting. We don't care how long it's going to take. We are happy now to sit in the dark and let this process completely shape us and turn us slowly and slowly in the cauldron, completely doing what needs, what absolutely needs to happen.
Beautiful. So beautiful. And when you have found yourself in those moments of just happiness to sit in the darkness, what do you both, you know, it's a natural being drawn towards certain things to help and support and replenish and nourish, as well as personally. You know, I know in what you speak, so I'm just prefacing this for listeners. There will both be what you say, a personal draw, but there will also be wisdom of a collective draw. So tell me what you're drawn to in that moment when you're like, I am just happy to sit here in the darkness for however long it takes. What are you drawn to in that?
What comes up when you say that is visions of me appearing in the darkness, like ghosts, I suppose, and just sort of reappearing to the one who sat there in the dark. And that's what I mean by grace and mercy. It's definitely a heart exercise. You start to see and feel and hear pieces of yourself that you have discarded and thrown away out of fear, out of reluctance, out of disgust. You start to see aspects of yourself just emerge out of the shadows. And love is there. Love is present. And it's so gorgeous. I can't explain any other way apart from, I guess, I'm not a woman with children, but it feels like it's finding your own children. You know, you've lost your little boy, you've lost your little girl, and suddenly you find this little tot, you know, around the back of a tree in a dark forest. That's what it feels like. It brings tears to the eyes, even imagining that feeling again. And so much like, finally, there you are. Oh my God, I haven't seen you for so long. And it's sad, but it's kind of like a good sad.
Yeah, I'm tearing up and can feel like that well in my heart, you know, where it comes to the surface and just wants to push to overflow, you know, that edge where you can feel, no, you don't have to dam that. Just let it overflow. That feeling of welcoming back. There you are, finally. And I feel like there's something in what you just said that also brings relief, which is, and it's okay that you've been gone and missing for so long, because you're here now, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
Like, there's no wrongdoing in that you were missing, and I couldn't find you, and I couldn't even hear you when you were screaming, like, as painful as that is. Like, here you are now.
Yeah,
it's so beautiful. Such homecoming. And for those who still feel unsure, whatever level they're at, whether they're 25 going, okay, I've heard about this thing and I know it's coming, but, you know, it's probably not that big of a deal and it won't take that long, you know, to those who are hitting their 40s and, you know, they can feel like life is really starting to fall apart. And there's the cultural impact of, no, you know, don't. You can go down to the darkness now a little bit, you know, as a culture and society, we've made it kind of, you know, a little bit into acceptance of darkness. So you can go a little, but not too far. So what would you say, like, to really bring permission? And what you talked about, yes, you soften. Yes, you become kind. Yes, you're filled with mercy. And you're filled with so much power and discernment and assurance. So what would you say just to support others to just keep going, to really go as deep and as dark as they need to, and to trust it?
Well, my very strong feeling is that the Western society is programmed to really make sure we don't spend too much time in that dark night. So it's seen as something to avoid, to minimize, to deny, to pop pills over. Because within that dark night is our great diamond gift. Within that dark night is our authenticity, our authority, our humility. It's like worthy merits, powerful merits and virtues of being a human being. This is sacred spiritual material. And, you know, the way I live life, this frantic urban lifestyle, it's a program, it's an artificial program that steers us away from getting too close to those spiritual gifts. So I would say to you, in the same way I speak to myself, which is, if you feel an authentic dark night coming on, and you have the financial ability, the friendship and support that is needed, I really would, like I did, quit all work, all external job-based work for a while. I took myself 3 months. The dark night took much longer than that. But I quit my job for 3 months, and I made sure I had nobody externally pulling on my energy. I was given a house let, so a friend of mine was in India training. She gave me her apartment in London. I had no job. I had nothing to do but get into the process of the dark night, and I didn't allow any external pull to interfere with this process. I knew what it was. And I wanted it. I wanted it so badly because I could see the repetitive patterns that were playing out in my life. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be free from them. What is important, like you said, Sharon, at the beginning of the call, is heartfelt support. So seek out a circle of friends that aren't going to question you at the level of the mind, but hold you in the richness of their heart and understanding. Minimize all responsibilities to some kind of worldly role that you're playing. Seek out nature. Seek out a very simple and low impact diet. Seek out plenty of rest at any time of the day or night. Allow your bodily cycles to just evaporate. Sleep when you want to, eat when you want to. Walk endlessly, do yoga, meditate, pray. Because all of this is feminine material. You are allowing and invoking and encouraging the feminine part of you to take over. So all of that masculine energy must be in service of this feminine balancing act that is now coming into place. My mind panicked when I quit my job. Obviously, it was thinking of finance and responsibility and what's mum and dad going to say and what's the world going to say. And that is very typical of the mind. That's the type of thought stream it will come up with. Just recognize that that's just a natural response, but just do it anyway, really and truly. Just do it anyway. This is a great spiritual gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't get that message to understand that this is one of the things, if we don't do before we leave our current life, we've really done a disservice to our soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually feel immense grief just saying that.
Yeah, me too.
Because there are so many that, yes, even upon our death, there's so much of this that also happens again, and so much that gets, you know, rebalanced, and it happens quick and fast, and it will. So I don't say this with judgment or the finger pointing or punitive, directives. Just more like, I can feel this in my heart. You know, this, I think, maybe is the depth of that grief for humanity. We've lost the capacity together to say, yes, like you said, there's gold, your riches. The riches our entire world are so ridiculously hunger for are right here in your own personal dark night. Harness this with everything you've got and hold your head high to look out and say, hey, guys, I'm being called into this. Please support me. Please support me, because I'm doing a disservice to all of humankind and beyond if I don't go down to discover what is here, you know? So, yeah.
I also feel that we're in a collective dark night. You know, the whole of our species is in a dark night. And some of us, probably at the moment, most of us, is denying and despairing at this. And minimizing and lots of wishful thinking. But we're all in this as a collective. I feel very strongly our future is not guaranteed as we know it to be. There's going to be some shape-shifting. Some changes.
Yes. And as we begin to really bring this energy in and come into an integrated completion with our time. I'm so grateful you brought in the collective dark night. And the irony is I've been jotting down notes and I wrote dark night with a K. Dark night.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for you to just share, you know, because there is, knowing this is a much larger conversation, but we can also just give it in a seed, in a drop. There's that frantic, like, oh my gosh, we've got to do something, which also isn't mm-hmm. helpful. And then there's the denial and the minimizing and the wishful thinking. And so where is that powerful, softened, kind, poignant medicine that you might give around this collective dark night, and how others, you know, with this well of grief can really rise into their own greatest servitude?
Well, one of the most beautiful things I've discovered during this time is, and I saw it in the Mary Magdalene movie that came out this year, and it's this ability called witnessing. In the Mary Magdalene movie, beautiful Yeshua says to Mary, "Mary, you are my witness." And he says it in such a way that it was a pure transmission. And it stayed with me all of this time. And I am now witnessing with a beautiful, raw, open, kind heart, the actual despairing things that may cross my path. So I don't go out looking. I don't go out seeking things to witness. But should something unsavory happen on my path, I will absolutely take the time to witness what is happening, and to bring my compassion, my bodhisattva heart to that injustice. Not to fix it, not to make it go away, not to correct it, but to bear witness to any kind of suffering that I may be exposed to. That includes the inside as well. So my internal, you know, injustices. So if I overhear a strict and nasty voice of my own speaking to a very timid, shy, raw part of myself, instead of correcting, I will just bear witness to that and go, wow, look at that. And I am a real big believer that we may not be able to do anything regarding our future. It is probably most likely down to being something, being a certain vibration, presence, witness. Yeah.
That is exquisite. Because from that powerful stance and softness, I heard you say it in a way I've probably never allowed myself to receive it before, which is we may not be able to do anything about this, but we can be a certain present. And that brings great relief. Great relief. And I'm struck, you know, I went, oh, you know, one of the first quotes that came up across my path when I brought this material together, you know, quite a while ago was, and I've got it on the page for the Grief Grace Goddess course, is we don't need a magician to take it all away. We just need a witness.
Oh,
we just need a witness. And that was said by Glennon Doyle. So thank you for being a witness, Anaya, to the depths of the dark night of the soul for yourself and for all of humanity and the earth. Thank you for being willing to be a certain presence.
Thank you, Sharon. And I absolutely witness what you're doing and bringing through here with this material and this desperately needed space for people to be able to fall open-armed into their grief well and spend as much time as they need in order to find that grace.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I encourage everyone to further explore Anaya's gorgeous offerings of so much spiritual kindness, deep kindness. I've seen, you know, I've gotten to see you and be a part of your work as it really has gone through this big chunk of the dark night. So I've seen that and felt that. And your transmissions are some of the most elegant, authentic offerings of the deepest source of feminine energy I have found. So thank you. So I will include all of Anaya's contact and website on the webpage for this course, which is being shared on Autumn Equinox for 7 gorgeous days as we delve into grief, grace, goddess, and what she has in store for you to go to the well, the deepest darkness of your own soul, and find the gold. So I bow to this energy that was awakened today, and I give so much thanks for the ways it will bless all of us and all those who will partake. And I offer it also to all of humanity, the earth, all beings, past, present, and future, that something within this might restore something we couldn't even imagine. Thank you for joining me in this holy space, Anaya, and blessings to all of you who have been here listening and will be. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Sharon.
Heart-opening conversation. Let us exhale together, placing a hand to our hearts. Feel what's awakening and moving within. I want to thank you for your presence upon this 7-day pilgrimage. You are felt as we each contribute to a kinder reality by relating to our grief. Take your time integrating all that was revealed to you. What treasures opened as you listened to this conversation on grief? What's resting in your awareness as you gently gather yourself up and prepare to move into your day? May you receive all that you hunger for from these conversations with soul sisters. I'm blessed to have grown a generously loving community of wildly wise women around me. If you're hungering for kindred connection and sustaining support to live from your own inner wisdom, I offer a unique alchemical sisterhood council experience, women's retreats around the country, deepening feminine initiations, and one-on-one mentorship. Visit my website to learn more at SharonAnnRose.com or feel free to reach out to set up a time to connect. Fostering pristine space for belonging, safety, reflection, and mutual respect is my sacred medicine. I'm honored to walk with you upon this pilgrimage. Grief is a friend who will keep opening our hearts and softening our bellies to our holiest homecoming and humanity. I bow to this relationship within.